Hello, this is Tyler Fender. Thank you for joining us today. We invite you to connect with us on all social media outlets. Now, let's go to the message.
Verse 22, Acts chapter 13, verse 36. These are bookends. A lot of times I hear this preached, and they're both used as kind of quotes from an obituary of David's life, but it's actually not. They're bookends. Acts chapter 13, verse 22, and when he had removed him being Saul, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom he also gave their testimony and said, I found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, which shall fulfill all of my will. Acts chapter 13, verse 36, for David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell on sleep and was laid unto his fathers and saw corruption. This is the second message in our series, King of Hearts, David, the man after God's heart. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, in the next few moments, we're going to have heart surgery. Man, oh man. Those of you that have had heart surgery, that probably just makes you a little uncomfortable to say. However, this is not open heart surgery. This is closed heart surgery. This is surgery that God can do today. I can't promise you that it won't be uncomfortable or not painful, but I promise you that the end will be better than the beginning. And that when you get the heart of God in a fleshly body, it changes everything. Amen? You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Last session, we started off with a prophetic declaration of David's life, that before he was anointed king, a conversation that God had with Samuel was, go find me the next king. He's in the house of Jesse, and you will find that he is a man after my own heart. I love that because he goes on to say, don't look at the outward appearance. When God says, don't look at the outward appearance, a lot of times we preach that, don't look for the tallest, the best looking, the strongest. But I think it would be apropos in 2020 to say, when we say, don't look at the outward appearance, that your race doesn't matter. I thought I'd get a better amen there than that. That it's not about white, not about black, not about brown, it's about Jesus. I encourage you, if you are not in the first service, to listen to what Bishop preached today. He preached on blood privilege, that when Jesus came, all races, all race wars were put to the side because it became about now being believers in Jesus Christ. And so when David is being talked about by God, I love the fact that God said, hey, it doesn't matter what he looks like on the outside, doesn't matter his age, none of that matters because I'm looking at his heart. The declaration after the death of David that we read in Acts chapter 13 says that David served his generation. The only way that you will serve your generation is if you truly have a heart that looks like God's heart, to have a heart that is after the heart of God. Having a heart that looks like God is easier said than done. Because the very same David would write in the 51st Psalm, verse 5, the NIV says it like this, surely I was sinful at birth, and from the time my mother conceived me. So what he's saying is, in the King James Version, which is how we grew up hearing it, I was born into sin, and I was shapen in iniquity. So what that means is from the very moment that we take our first gulp of oxygen, the very moment that we are born, we are on the comeback trail to get a heart that resembles God. You know, by you being here in this room today, by you watching online today, what you're saying is I'm not content with where I am. I'm not content with the attitude of my heart, and I want my heart to resemble more of God at the end of this service. At the conclusion, when you walk out of this building and you have your farewell dinner or lunch at Luby's, sad news, y'all. Luby's is going away. I knew Luby's was in trouble when the Luann platter went from like $4.75 to $12.75. I knew it was just a matter of time. But when you leave this place today, your heart should look more like God than when you came in. When you turn the broadcast off, Facebook Live off, your heart should resemble more of God than yourself. Jeremiah 17:9 says this, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, who can know it? So that means that every moment of our lives, we should be striving to have God's heart put in our chest, to have his heart beat as our heart. Genesis 1, 26 and 27 tells us that we are made in the image of God. So from birth forward, we look like him, but the problem is we look like him, but we act like them. And the thing that God wants for us as believers and us as the children of God is to look like him and to act like him. That we rise above all the hatred. Come on now. That we are the solution to the change in this world. Why? Not because of us, but because we now carry the heart and the DNA of Jesus Christ. That we are to love without boundaries. That our love should be unconditional. And I am to give forgiveness like God has given me forgiveness. I am to give grace, come on, like God has given me grace. We are to give mercy like God has given us mercy. From the time we are young, we hear well-meaning but terrible advice like follow your heart. Let your heart lead you. What is your heart saying? We hear songs like the Roxette's hit, Listen to Your Heart. As believers, before we follow or listen to our hearts, let's make sure that Jesus sits on the throne of our hearts. If Jesus doesn't sit on the throne of your heart, everything your heart tells you is a lie. It is deceitfully wicked. It is in the fallen state of man. But the day you said yes to Jesus, he became Savior of your life. And then every day from here forward, you wake up saying, how can I make him Lord of my life? That means how can I allow him to sit on the throne of my heart in a greater way? I will never kick him out. I will never evict him. Once he takes residence and once he takes the position on the throne of my heart, that's how he will remain. We are even cautioned in Mark 6:52. After Jesus walks on water, after Jesus has Peter walk on water, after Jesus calms the storm, the Bible says that Jesus said in Mark 6:52 that they did not believe and they did not consider the miracle of the loaves, for their hearts were hardened. If you're taking notes, write this one down. Hardened hearts will rob us of the revelation of what God is doing, where God is doing it, and who God is using to do it. When your heart hardens, you forget what God is capable of. When your heart hardens, you forget what real love looks like. And when God calls us to be his hands and his feet, what he's really saying is your hands will work right when your heart's right. Your feet will go to the correct places when your heart's right. Come on, church. You'll say the right things when your heart's right. You'll do the right things when your heart's right. And so when I look at this pretty much it is an accusation, and he's telling his disciples, if you had remembered what I've done, this would not surprise you. If you remember where I brought you from and the miracles that I did to get you here, your heart would not be hardened in such a way that you can't see me for who I am and know what I'm doing. Never be perplexed at how God's doing it, what God's doing, when he's doing it, and where he's doing it. Because if you have those questions, it means you don't have the heart of God. It means you're surprised just like everybody else. Remember, I'm never surprised by God's blessing. Many times I'm surprised who he uses to bless me, but my heart is always directed saying, God, I believe you're going to work in my favor. God, I believe you're going to work in my life. We as the church have become so jaded and blasé when it comes to the miraculous things and what God has done and what God is doing. God is doing a new thing. Let me say that again because I want to get a better amen right there. God is doing a new thing. But realize this, that means it's not going to look like the old thing. And it's not going to be done the old way. Many times we ask God to do a new thing and then complain when he does it in a new way. Once you say, God, I need you to do this. God, my desire is for you to do this. After you invite him into the situation, you've got to take your hands off of the steering wheel and say, God, I want this in my life, and I don't care how you get it done. As long as you get it done, that's what I want, God. I want my end to be better than my beginning. I want my tomorrow to be better than today. And so by whatever means it takes, just do what you do well. I'm sure the blind man would have rather Jesus just touched him and healed him, but he got spit in his face. You can be uncomfortable for 2 minutes and have your sight for the rest of your life, or you can complain because God didn't do it for you like he did it for Bartimaeus, and you can stay blind the rest of your life. Come on, somebody. There are people in this church that you have moved forward in your faith in the last year, in the last 5 years, and that forward movement of your faith happened when you said, God, it doesn't matter how you do it. God, it doesn't matter who you use to do it. God, it doesn't matter when and where you do it. I'm just banking on the fact that when I call on your name, you are going to show up. And you might not do it. You might not do it like you did it for my brother. You might not do it like you did it for my grandmother. But God, I believe you're doing a new thing. And God, I expect God for you to do it anyway. That's why I love Living Way, because when you come to Living Way, you'll see people that have been living for God for 50 years, and they're wearing suits. And then you'll see people with face tattoos that have been living for God for about 3 minutes, and they're wearing shorts and flip-flops. Doesn't matter. God's doing a new thing. Don't expect God to do a new thing in an old way. God does new things in new ways. Open your eyes. Get God out of the box. Take the parameters and boundaries off of your expectation of God. You can do this, but you can only do it this way. When you step back and say, God, you can do it, just do it, your life will forever change. When you read Psalms is an incredible collection, 150 divisions, mostly by David. And David, you can see David's life in some of these psalms. And so we're going to jump into some of these this morning as time permits. Psalm 9:1 in the NIV reads like this: I will give thanks to you, Lord, with all of my heart, and I will tell of all your wonderful deeds. What he's saying is I will praise you with all of my heart. I will literally wake up thanking you for what you've done. And anybody that will listen will hear what you have done. Come on, when I open my mouth, there can't be an hour conversation or 10 paragraphs before I slip something in about, look at what the Lord has done, or God has blessed me, or God has done something in my life. All of my heart is what I want to lift out of that psalm. To have a heart like God, you must give him all of your heart. Many times we want all of God but withhold a portion of us. God, I want everything you have, but you can't have everything I am. God, I want you to give me a great job that makes six figures, and I want to go to this college, but nope, you can't pick my spouse. I'll do that. And you can pick the next three and be wrong. Or you can say, God, I believe that you have my eternity in your hand. I trust you with my forever, so I trust you with my now. I trust you to get me to heaven, so I trust you with my spouse, my relationship, my job, my school, everything that I'm connected to. When I give you all of my heart, you give me all of your heart, and now my life looks different. I have to give them all. And I said this last night to our young people, and it fits here so great. Some, if you're taking notes, write this down. Some is none. Some tithe is no tithe. So, well, I gave 8% tithe. No, you didn't. You gave 8%. And we appreciate it. But don't call it tithe. Well, I'm going to give God some worship. No, you didn't. I'm going to give God some praise. I'm going to give God some prayer. I'm going to give him some of my time. Nope. As a person of God, when God puts his heart in you, he now owns you. He now owns me. You say, I don't like that vernacular. The Bible says, do you not know that you were bought with a price? You weren't bought with pennies. You weren't bought with billions. You weren't bought with Bitcoin. What you were purchased with was the blood of Jesus Christ. So I don't think it's out of question. And that's what Paul would say when he said, I want you to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. One translation says it like this: it's not too much to ask that God ask you for your life living when he gave his life in death. And so when we look at giving him our all, we are literally giving him our all. Every day we wake up with the heart of God in us, and the heart of God in us changes everything about our day. Causes us to treat people different, to talk to people different, to think different, to act different, to treat our boss different, to treat our coworkers different, to treat people that look different than us in a pleasant way, in a human way. Psalm 19:14, we continue on to NIV. In the NIV, it says this: may these words of my mouth and this meditation of my heart be pleasing in the sight. Lord, you're my rock and my redeemer. He said, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, the words of my mouth, and what he's saying is what I said previously, and in the previous verses, when he says words of my mouth, he says, I've been quoting your law, your word, your statutes, your precepts, your commands. He said, the fear, that healthy respect and awe, and the decrees of the Lord. He said, let these words, when they come out of my mouth and this meditation of my heart, your words and your actions show your heart. We don't have to hook you up to any machine. We can talk to you 5 minutes and know whose heart you have. God's heart, your heart, someone else's heart. We can watch how you treat people, how you treat the least of these, and know what kind of heart you have. We can look at how you treat the ushers. We can look at how many toenail clippings you leave on the pew next to you. That happens. We can look at how you act at your job. We can look at how you act on social media. And we can see what heart you have and what heart you don't. Because you can't praise God on Sunday and cuss people out on Monday. You can't worship God on Wednesday and stir up strife and gossip and divisive and be divisive on Thursday and think that everything's going to be okay. Listen, your heart is with you 24 hours, 7 days a week. You've got to get yourself the heart of God. Why? Because I don't trust you, and I don't trust you because I don't trust me without his heart. He said, make sure that the words of my mouth match the meditation of my heart. Your words and your actions show your heart. I read social media posts and I think this to myself. Be careful because your heart is showing. You see people just fly off the handle? Be careful. Your heart is showing. You see somebody cuss out the attendant at the Valero station? Their heart is showing. They're acting out because they got problems in here. Not just because they've got a temper. Listen, there's a lot of us that are saved that have temper that don't act that way. The Bible says, be angry but sin not. How do I sin not? I can be angry but have the heart of God and not act like a crazy person or a jackass just because I don't get my way when I want my way. Oh, it's getting good. To have a heart like God, you must meditate on his word so your mouth and your actions match your heart. There is something to be said about fleshing out from time to time. But when you flesh out once a day, twice a week, it's a heart issue. It's nothing else, but you got to get your heart right. And you can't get your heart right. You got to get his heart right in your chest. When you get his heart in your life, it changes everything. Are you tracking with me today? Come on. Your actions are an indicator of the health of your heart. Again, we don't have to hook you up to a machine. We just see how you act, what you talk about. Psalm 24, verse 4, we continue on. The one who has clean hands has a pure heart. Who does not trust in an idol or swear by a false god, they will receive a blessing from the Lord and the vindication from God their Savior. He says those who have clean hands and a pure heart, pure in the Hebrew is defined as unalloyed, meaning not mixed with anything, refined. That means you can't have half of your heart and half of his heart. All or none. Psalm 139, 23, 24, David says this, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts and see if there be any wicked in me and lead me in the ever way lasting. To have a heart like God, you must have a pure heart, which leads to clean hands, which leads to a blessing, which leads to vindication. That's what Psalm 24 says. A pure heart leads to clean hands. Judge Judy says this, if you tell the truth, you don't have to have a good memory. If you lie, you always have to remember your last lie. And then you got to lie to cover that lie and lie. And nobody has a good enough memory, and eventually you're going to trip yourself up. And so I say that to say this. If you have a pure heart, you'll never have to worry about whether your hands are clean or unclean, because a pure heart will cause me to say the right things, do the right things, go the right places, and be the right person. That's why we are called the righteousness of God. And with that, he said, a pure heart leads to clean hands and leads to a special blessing. That means this blessing can only be obtained and received by having the right heart directed towards God. And then he says this. He just throws this one in as an extra and a freebie. He says, not only do you get a blessing, separate from the blessing, you get vindication. What is vindication? That means every time you've been done wrong, God steps in and rights the wrongs of your life. That means when I have a pure heart, I don't have to worry about getting even. I just have to worry about keeping God's heart in my chest so that I don't revenge, react, and do something that I don't want to do. I can turn the other cheek. Why? I'm turning the other cheek because I don't want to watch what God's about to do to you for strife. Oh, come on now. That's vindication. Somebody did you wrong in the first 8.5 months of this year, but I want to remind you, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. You will be vindicated. Before January 1st, God is going to right the wrongs of your life. Before January 1st, you're going to get the pure heart blessing in your life. Don't worry about what they say. Don't worry about what they do. Make sure you got the right heart so you control what you do. Talking about the King of Hearts, to have a heart like God, you must have that pure heart leading to clean hands, a blessing, a vindication. Psalm 34, verse 18, the NIV, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted. Somebody say amen. And it saves those who are crushed in spirit. David is on the roller coaster of his life, up one day and down the next. And let me tell you something, just because you have the heart of God doesn't mean that every day is going to be perfect. He's on the roller coaster. He's on the highest of highs with the heart of God. Then he's on the lowest of lows, but he still has the heart of God. As long as you have the heart of God beating in your life, you cannot stay down. The spirit of resurrection is in you. The spirit of resurrection. It doesn't matter what you've done, David. There's a spirit of resurrection. I know you made some mistakes, and I know you're going through the valley, and I know that things aren't what they should be right now, or it doesn't look like what it was promised, but that beating heart of God is still in you. The same heart that he saw as a shepherd boy. Fast forward 20 years, it's the same heart that's beating in you, and you can't keep a good man down. You can't keep a God man down. A God man might fall 7 times, but rise up every time. In this verse where he says the Lord is close to the brokenhearted, it seems like he is encouraging others, but in reality, he is hyping himself and encouraging himself. You and I have to get very good at encouraging ourselves, because you will spend the most time with you. The greatest thing of my life is I get to be with Brandon 24 hours a day, every day. The worst part of my life is I have to be with Brandon 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. When I'm good, it's good. When I'm bad, it's bad. When I'm good, oh, man, but when I'm going through something, I want to get away from me. You got to get real good at hyping yourself. How many of you talk to yourself? Just don't answer yourself. That's when crazy starts taking over. How many of you look in the mirror and talk? I do it all the time. You know what else I do? I mean, I hype myself every day. I do it with the door shut and the lock clicked. Andy's never seen me do that. But I hype myself up. Today's going to be a great day. The devil doesn't know who he's messing with. I'm looking for the blessing of God. I'm looking for the favor of God. I'm anointed. I have the spirit of God. I don't need a hype man. I'm not a rapper. I'm a child of God. I'm my own hype man. I got the Holy Ghost inside of me. And listen, every day of my life, I'm looking in the mirror saying, this is the day that God has made. God made you. God made the day. God made the provision. And I know that because I have the heart of God, that this day is going to count towards my destiny. You don't got to beat your chest, but you got to talk to yourself. You got to encourage yourself. Not just mindless encouragement. Back it up with the word of God. Get some worship going on. Realize I am the righteous. Every day of my life, I say I am the righteousness of God. I am faithful. I'm anointed. I am appointed. Come on. You got to get that. And here David is hyping. It looks like he's hyping everybody else, but he's hyping himself. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted. It sounds like he's talking to the brokenhearted, but he's really talking to himself. Dark moment of his life, he says the Lord is close to the brokenhearted. When we have the heart of God, when our heart begins to fracture, Jesus begins to mend. Let me say this, because I think this is where a lot of us miss it. A lot of us wait until all hell has broken loose before we ask God to intervene.
We wait until our heart is broken in two pieces before we ask him to mend. But just at the first sign of stress in my heart, just at the first sign of a little line of fracture in my heart, I say, God, your heart is in my body. I am close to you and you are close to me. And so, God, I'm not waiting until it's too late. I'm not waiting until it's already done. God, right now, I need you to come in and I need you to begin to shore up. I need you to begin to fortify. I need you to begin to strengthen my heart because I feel like it's under pressure. It's close to the broken heart. Do not have to wait until your heart is broken in two. Jesus is there. Psalm 37, verse 4. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Probably where we'll end today. One of the most misunderstood and out-of-context scriptures in the entire Bible. You hear people always say, God will give you the desires of your heart. No, he won't. That's not what this verse says. This verse says that he will give you the desires of your heart. Not your desires, the desires of your heart. So when you have your heart, he's going to give you those desires. The problem is your heart is deceitfully wicked. But when I take my heart out and I take God's heart and put it in, now I get the desires not of my heart, I get the desires of the heart that is now in my life, which is the heart of God. And so now the desires that are being met are not my desires. They are his desires. But because I have his heart, his desires, praise God, have become my desires. I wish somebody would praise God right now. I love it when God flips the script and says, Brandon, before you met me, if I gave you everything that you wanted, it would kill you. It would injure you. It would maim you. But when you take on the heart of God, your desires begin to change. It's no longer things. It's things of the Spirit. It's no longer people. It's relationship with God. Because when you get the right heart, your desires change. And when your desires fulfill, change that are fulfilled, it changes your life. The next time somebody says, well, God's going to give you the desires of your heart, make sure your heart's right. Make sure you have the heart of God. Too many people are praying their will and not his will. Too many people are praying according to their heart, which is deceitfully wicked, not the heart of God. David might have been a bad man sometimes, but he never lost the heart of God. He never lost that heart that said, hey, there's something bigger than Bathsheba to do in your life. There's something bigger than the mistake you made yesterday in your life. Come on, that Goliath that you defeated set you up for this. I need you to lead the nation of Israel. Your son is going to build the temple. Your son is going to do greater. We need you to get the heart of God. Why? Because a generation behind you depends on your heart aligning with the heart of God. Stand on your feet. This series is important because the issues we have in our world right now, I've gone to bed thinking a lot about the injustice and the atrocity, the ridiculous stances that some of our leaders have taken on the side of people who feel no reason other than the color of their skin. This is where God has me. It doesn't matter who's voted the next president. He can make every law that there is to make sure that this doesn't happen again. But you realize that laws have been broken this year that are already in place that have done that. You cannot legislate hatred out of somebody. The only way we change, and I understand that we need to do better job vetting, better job training, we need to do better psych exams and all of those things, and those things can be passed, and they should be passed. However, the heart of man, remember this, God chose the color of your skin, but you choose the character of your heart. God chose the color of your skin. You and I choose the character of our heart. I can't hate.
too much of a burden. Hate will eat you up. Hate will eat you up. You realize if we were all white, we'd still be fighting and killing. If we were all black, we'd still be fighting and killing. What we need is heart of God. This morning I drove in. I drive in really early every day, every Sunday. And I drove in on Pat Booker Road. Those of you who are familiar, right out there by the base, I turned. And when I turned, I sat at a stoplight. I drove from 78 to the church. If you've ever driven Pat Booker, it's a little bit of a stretch. I passed two cars. If I were to take that same stretch tomorrow, it would take me an hour to get 25 miles from my house here because there's hundreds of cars. If you follow me on Instagram, I just, at the red light, put it out there. The reason our nation's in a mess, it's empty streets on Sunday. Empty streets on Sunday. We'll take our kids to Dallas for volleyball tournaments. We'll follow them to national cheerleading competitions in Florida. We'll work a triple shift on our job. But on Sunday morning, we just roll over, go back to sleep, and say, God, I'll figure it out. God will not figure it out. You and I must figure it out. And the only way we figure it out is to take his heart, put it in the flesh of man. Feel your Holy Ghost. I just want to open this altar very simply. And this is totally different than what I wanted to do, but if you feel your heart is weak, if you feel like that heart is not pumping like it should, I just want you to join me in this altar. If you feel your heart is hardening, if you feel your heart is getting cold, any great relationship, and I close with this, any great relationship is successful only when two hearts begin to beat as one and they pick up the rhythm of each other. Manny and I will be the first to tell you, and we've spoken about it openly, that the first year of our marriage was tough. She's 17 years old. I'm 21 years old. It was a tough year because we were out of sync. We sat down and had real conversations in the living room, began to pray for one another. And after that first year, her heartbeat and my heartbeat aligned. And they started beating as one. When God said David's heart is like mine, what he's saying is it beats in perfect rhythm with my will and what I want. When your heart is out of rhythm, they take those defibrillator paddles. Clear. Get your heart in rhythm. They do it to bring people back to life, but they'll do it while you're still alive if your heart's out of rhythm. Brother Vail told me about it last week. When you come to this altar, what you're doing is saying, God, put my heart in rhythm. Put my heart in rhythm. Right now, families coming to this altar, put my heart in rhythm. Give me the heart of God. God is doing it right now. You're in this altar, and I want you to forget about everything else.